Bill Hoppe joins us once again, a longtime beat reporter for the Buffalo Sabres. You can also check him out at buffalohockeybeat.com. Bill, if Buffalo had number one, is it obvious who they wanted? And now do you think they're a little bit at the mercy of Florida? Or who is Florida's pick, not who Buffalo was going to take?
I'm not quite sure who Florida's going to take, but I think if they had the number one overall pick, you know, someone would have made them an offer for Ekblad that maybe they couldn't refuse, and maybe that still happens at number two, but, you know, if he falls. But, I mean, the Sabres desperately need a forward. They need a franchise, first-line, young, good, great forward, and they'll be able to get one, so I think at number two, unless Ekblad falls to them, that they'll take, you know, Sam Reinhart or Sam Bennett or whoever and get their guy. So, you know, losing the top pick, they lost some leverage, but, it, you know, it's not the end of the world for them.
If Ekblad doesn't go one, would they still take him, even though they've got a lot of really good defensemen in the organization, over a forward?
Well, you know, Tim Murray says, you know, they'll take the best player available, but they have so many defensemen, and there's just a dearth of young forwards. I think they just, they got to, unless they're going to trade him, I think they have to take a forward.
Bill, when you look at that group of forwards, they're neck and neck in terms of Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhart, and Leon Draisaitl, according to almost any scouting outfit you want to talk about. Have they given any indication who they would prefer? And I probably know the answer to that. So who do you think best suits them?
That's a good question. Probably, I would say Reinhart. Although, you know, you talk to other people and, you know, Bennett, you know, in their opinion is the better one. So at this point, I just don't know. And I think we learned last year that, you know, you think you have the top couple picks, few picks pegged, and, you know, something happens with like Seth Jones and everything gets haywire. So I have no clue, is I guess what I'm saying.
Looking at the Sabres, Bill, are they going to be patient in the rebuild, in your mind? Is, you know, last year we saw them at times just screw up everything in their development. They're playing four 19-year-olds, which no team had ever done. Like, how is this year going to be different as far as the looking ahead to the future for the Sabres?
Well, I think they are going to be patient this year. If Nikita Zadorov is ready for the NHL or Rasmus Ristolainen is ready for full-time duty, then, you know, maybe they'll play them. But if they're not, they're not going to force it. And they'll send them to Rochester, send them back to junior, and let a veteran, you know, take those minutes or someone else. Last year it was ridiculous, like you were kind of alluding to, where they had four teenagers playing. I mean, there had been one, Grigorenko was the first regular 18-year-old to play Pierre Turgeon, and then, you know, within a year they have three or four of them. It's just so bizarre. They got away from everything they were about developing, and they forced it, and it was a mess. And, you know, they became the worst team probably since the lockout.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And when you're struggling at the bottom, yeah, the fans are clamoring for results. People lose their jobs, but the fact remains, if you're going to rush a bunch of kids, you're probably just going to get deeper. So whether it's Bennett or Reinhart or Draisaitl, are they willing to put that kid back in junior and let him develop?
I think they are, yeah. I want to say Tim Murray. I think Tim Murray said with Ekblad that he would probably return him to junior. So, I mean, that's kind of an insight into his thinking. And, Ted Nolan, you know, when he took over in November, I mean, he and Pat LaFontaine, they were almost aghast at just all the guys that were in over their heads and how it was really hard. It wasn't helping them, it was harming them, and they got them out of there quickly. So I think, like I was saying, they're not going to force anyone anymore.
Bill Hoppe joins us. Bill, what are they doing in goal moving forward?
It'll probably next year just be Neuwirth and Enroth. You know, will be maybe split work early or battle out in training camp, and it'll be those two, most likely. That's the plan, as far as I know. And it's intriguing because both, you know, Jonas Enroth has been up and down. you know, sometimes he's unbeatable and sometimes he doesn't win for months on end. But, you know, he's shown enough where he's, I still think he might be a pretty good number one. Same thing with Neuvers. I think he's been a number one a little bit, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And they're intriguing guys, and I think they have a couple good ones. I mean, there's not that, you know, bright young name, but I think they're still young enough where they're, you know, their prime is ahead of them.
I guess they could look at the free agent market and go after Ryan Miller. No, I'm kidding. But are you on the seller? Yeah, I'm sure they probably have. Interesting thing about the Sabres, we know now that they will have, right now anyway, at least two first-rounders next season because the Islanders will not give up their number five overall pick this year. They'll wait until next year. A lot of people are saying that draft is going to be even deeper. Do you think, have you had a chance to talk to their GM? Does that impact their thinking, knowing already now they've got two first-rounders in what's supposed to be a very good draft class, that they might eat it for one more year just to really, fill up their stable very quickly with some high-end prospects next year as well?
I don't think they want to tank anymore. I mean, okay. That's not Tim Murray's mentality. It's not Ted Nolan's mentality. I can't see them doing it. I think they're just going to put the best team on the ice they can, and there's still a very good chance they're going to be pretty bad, and they'll probably be a lottery team again next year. And, you know, if they get Connor McDavid, they get him. If not, you know, then whoever, they'll get someone good. But that's just not the way those guys operate.
You know, it's interesting, and I guess you have to take the best player that's sitting there in your slot as determined by the scouting staff. But at the top of the draft the last couple years, the Sabres have gone Ristolainen, Zadorov, and then the year before that, Gregorenko and Gergensons. Anybody out of that four clearly separated themselves from the others in terms of development? You'd think the 12 guys would be ahead of the 13 guys, but is that necessarily so?
The number one guy to me is Zemgus Girgensson. He had a very strong rookie year. He just turned 20, but he looks like he's going to be a captain. He looks like he's going to be a first or second line center. He looks like he'll, you know, be a 25-20 goal pain to play against, and he's been the best. Grigorenko is kind of, he'll probably be in Rochester next year, and people are worried about him. Rasmus Ristolainen, he's played in men's leagues, and you can kind of tell that he wasn't quite ready for the NHL, but I think the Sabres are pretty sure he'll be ready next year. So probably one from each class is ready.
Bill, is Ville Leino the obvious buyout for the Buffalo Sabres, a compliance buyout when you look at what he's making to what they would cost him and what he's produced the first 3 years of that contract?
Oh, yeah. And I think I was on this show maybe in September where I said I thought he could have a pretty good year. You know, maybe he would have like 17, 18 goals and 45 points or something like that. But he's had every opportunity. He's had a few coaches. He's switched positions. And if you can't play for Ted Nolan, I don't know who you can play for. So I think they'll just buy him out. And Tim Murray basically said last month that they would probably buy him out. I mean, it's just, that's got to be maybe the worst free agent signing ever, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, it's pretty bad. What about Chris Stewart? You know, where do you see him? You know, that's a big, skilled winger on a group of forwards that are very small, and I know that sometimes he doesn't go as much as he'd like, but Nolan's maybe the perfect coach for him. Do you see them as a fit?
Oh, yeah. Both have said so, that they like each, you know, they just like each other. Big, burling forward with might be able to score 25, 30 goals, and he got hurt, and it was kind of disappointing because I think the Sabres really thought they had something with him, and they just never got to see it. But, you know, if he plays like he's played in the past, you know, there's a good chance he's going to get a lot of ice time, maybe be a first liner, and he'll get all the power play time, and maybe can, you know, get back to being that 25, 30 goal guy he was. And if not, I mean, he's going to be a free agent, so he'll probably fetch something pretty good.
Bill, speaking of getting back to what he was, your best read on Drew Stafford? Lots of promise early in his career, plateaued and dipped. By the numbers, so-so last year. Where's Drew at now?
He was very, very good under Nolan. He kind of became the player everyone thought he would be. Just a first line, 25, 30 goal, you know, reliable winger. And he became an accountable guy in the dressing room. I think a lot of people think he would be a good captain for the team. I mean, he thrived under Nolan. They connected right away. Ted showed a lot of faith in him. Even though he was in a slump, he gave him a lot of ice time and opportunities because Ted thought he deserved it as a veteran, and Drew seized it, and, you know, he seemed to turn a corner. And but, you know, if they want to trade him, he has 1 year left, $4 million. I think there'd be a lot of takers because, you know, for $4 million, you might get 25, 30 goals the way he's been playing.
Bill, it should be interesting for the Sabres. I actually forgot. I think they have 3 first-rounders. Do they own – yeah, they got St. Louis's first for Miller. Granted, that's a late one, but they got a bit.
Yeah.
And that's next year, right? Not this year, or is it this year?
No, that's next year. This year they just have the one.
Okay, so they have 3 then right now. Wow.
But they have a million second-round picks too, so.
Yeah. You got to think that's a team that's going to be trading some picks at some point to try to get some NHL players.
I think they will, yeah.
Bill, always good to catch up. We appreciate your time.
All right, thank you, guys.